in our staff meeting this week, we talk about the service that we just finished. We talk about the service that's coming and all those kinds of things. And mostly because of the excellence that happened on Easter Sunday, there was very little that we found that maybe we could have done a little bit different. They did point out one thing. I forgot to tell everybody that visited with us this past Sunday that we do this every week. You know, I forgot to invite them back. So if you brought your friends last week and you didn't bring them this week, invite them back. You know, last week was a tremendous week. I'm still celebrating what God did here last week on Resurrection Sunday. I wonder, are you? We had powerful worship. We had full in-house, in-person. The house was full. We actually had to add chairs in the middle of the service for people that are coming. Lots of folks viewed our service online. 13 people said yes to Jesus. Yes. Three of them from our online family. So that's just tremendous, isn't it? And sometimes when we think of those big Sundays, sometimes we get a little wondering, you know, what are we going to do next? What's next? And that's what we're going to talk about this month. What's next? Many times after a big event, there's this kind of letdown feeling in the natural, but that's not the way Jesus operates. Remember this, Lamentations 3:23, great is faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. The Amplified says, God's mercies and faithfulness are great and beyond measure daily. So it's with that thought that we move forward from Easter. Easter certainly is that grand crescendo from the events of the cross. But it's really just the beginning. This month we're going to be talking about some of the fundamental components of a life of a Jesus follower. Today we're going to talk about the power of confession. Now Susan and I love watching detective kind of shows, and many times I find myself getting really, really interested in the confession component after the arrest. I seem to like that the most. Sometimes the confessions flow effortless and are less an event, but most of the time it takes some encouragement, so to speak, for them to confess. I'm always amazed at how stubborn some people can be and how they refuse to admit their guilt. Now, that word confession actually means admission or acknowledgement. In the Christian journey, I see confession like a two-sided coin. Now, I actually found a nickel. I bet no one's got a nickel that big. It's not a real one, but it's a real fake one. But instead of heads and tails, this is how I see it, confession. One side of the coin is owning up to the crime, the sin, it's the admission. And that side is super important in our walk with Jesus, not only in our initial conversion, when we confess our sins to God and receive His forgiveness, but I don't know about you, I've found that I need to do that daily. Maybe you don't fail every day like I do. But there's one thing for sure, I need it daily. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23, for everyone has sinned, but we all fall short of of God's glorious standard. And then we see in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent therefore, and turn back, and your sins may be blotted out. And further in 1 John 1:9, but if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I love how the Amplified writes that. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, He is faithful and just, true to His own nature and promise, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with His will and purpose. And you can go even further. In James, we're to confess our sins one to another. So the first side of confession, of the confession coin, I'll call it, is to admit that you've sinned, repent, and receive God's forgiveness. You see, it's sin in our life that keeps us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came for us to have. Those of you that are my age and older will remember LP records. I think the hip word now is vinyl. They referred to that now. But they had an A side and a B side. Side A was the reason you bought the album. And many times, side B became as equally as important, but we always started with side A. That's what I see in the confession coin. We start with side A, the admission of sin. Now, the truth is, Jesus paid too high of a price for us to not confess our sins. The price he paid on the cross is far too much for us not to confess our sins. As simple as that. But there's another side of the confession coin that I want you to see, and it's equally important in our journey with Jesus, side B. This side of the confession coin is acknowledgement. And although that can mean something similar to admission, I want you to see the side of this coin in a new light today. There is something else other than the admission of our sin that can keep us from experiencing the abundant life that Jesus came for us to have. It's to not acknowledge who we are in Christ. And that's a double negative. It's not to acknowledge who we are in Christ. That's side B of the confession coin. To acknowledge, confessing who you are in Christ. And that's what we're going to spend the rest of the time on this morning, acknowledging who we are in Christ. You see, side A is a prerequisite. Admission is a prerequisite and must be done first and also regularly. But side B is equally important. Keep this in mind, John 10:10. The thief, the devil's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, this is Jesus speaking, is to give them, I'll say us, a rich and satisfying life. Other versions call it an abundant life. So the side B of the coin of confession is so important in this abundant life that Jesus came for us to have. See, if the enemy can't get you to ignore your admission and then receive the forgiveness of sin, he will likely concentrate on you keeping from acknowledging who you are in God's eyes. If old Slewfoot can keep you from understanding our identity in Christ, he's done some real damage. Why is it important to the enemy? Why does it matter to him? It's simple. He knows when we know who we are in Christ, we are unstoppable. Philippians 4:13 says, "For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." And I want you to hear it even louder from the Amplified Version. "I can do all things which he has called me to do through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything, equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace." When the enemy reminds you of your past, here are some things on side B that we need to remember and to keep in the forefront of our mind. Number one, we're loved. We sang about that. We're loved. John 3:16. "For God so dearly, so greatly loved and dearly prized the world, mankind, that he even gave up his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life." The Message Version says, "He came so that no one need to be destroyed." Think about that. We're so loved, even on our worst day, even when we're unlovable, even when we fail. God's love doesn't change. He never withholds his love for us. God's love never ends. One of our twins went off to Sri Lanka for about 6 months, and he left his dog. I don't have words. He left with his dog. We fell in love with the dog, but he came back, and he was going to take his dog back with him. So we thought, we don't want to be dogless. Now, I don't know what we were thinking, but we didn't want to be dogless. So we went to, this is our little rescue pup here. We went to the rescue place to get him. Named her Maggie May. We went in and they put her in my arms and she was just so docile and loving. We got out of that room, got in our car. This little demon dog went crazy. I'm telling you, I could have sworn they gave that dog a Xanax that wore off when we got into the car. I think it was near Manning. So we had a little time to drive. And Susan is wrestling that dog going crazy. We got home, finally calmed down a little bit. Got home, and in the security of our home, that dog has never lost it again. Why? Because the dog knew she was loved. See, that's really all it takes for us to calm down. It's all it takes when we get rattled that we remind ourselves, no, Jesus loves me. And it can take you from your fit into a place of real calm. So the first thing on side B is we're loved. Second thing, we're chosen. We've got to remember we're chosen. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a royal race, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a consecrated nation, a special people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies, the wonderful deeds and virtues of and perfections of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. The Message version says, you are the chosen ones by God. Think about that. God chose you. You know, most of you have been around a while know that I have a great, strong love for motorcycles, and most of all my adult life I've had one, but there were periods of time that I didn't have one. And I sold my last one at some years ago. It was for you motorcycle fans, it was a Harley Davidson Sportster Ironhead, which is very old, and it had a front end that just went way out. It was like about 9 feet long. Well, I sold it. Well, I grieved and grieved and grieved, but I knew that I needed to sell it. Well, there came a time when I was going to buy another one. So I just combed Craigslist. I'm telling you, I looked at motorcycles and looked at motorcycles. It had to be the exact one that I wanted. I didn't have a lot of criteria, but I did have some. You can show them the picture if you want to. That's what I ended up with. North Star Blue, I might add. But when I found this, we were out of town. We were in Arizona with some friends. And I contacted him. I said, listen, I'm out of town until whatever day it was. I'll come the very next day. And I went and I fell in love. And the whole reason I've still got the bike is because I chose it. It was out of a bunch of different bikes, but this is the one I chose. And I still go out in my workshop, open the door. I took it for a ride yesterday. It was kind of nice. But I just smile. But it's the chosen one. But think about God in His efforts to choose you. That He opens up the door of your heart and He just smiles. Because He's chosen you. So, side B, we're loved, we're chosen. Number three, we're forgiven. Colossians 2:13, when you are dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your worldliness and manner of life, God made you alive together with Christ, having freely forgiven all our sins. The Message version says, all sins are forgiven, the slate is wiped clean, the old arrest warrant is canceled. Think about that. Nothing we've ever done wrong will ever be held against us in Jesus because He's wiped the slate clean. He's wiped the slate clean. You know, I don't know how many of you use whiteboards. They're probably old school now, but I love whiteboards. But after you use them a while, the eraser won't take away all the stuff. And you find you're getting a little confused with what writing. So you finally use the solution. And we came upon that solution. Look at this bottle. Most of you know that. It wipes it clean. It is as though that board had never been used before. None of my scribbling is still there. Nothing like that is still there. It is wiped clean. Jesus is the ultimate whiteboard cleaner. So on side B, we're loved, we're chosen, we're forgiven. Number four is we're redeemed. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him, in Jesus, we have redemption. That is, our deliverance and salvation through His blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and the complete pardon of our sin in accordance to the riches of His grace. The Message Version says it this way, because of Jesus, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishment, chalked up by our misdeeds. Think about it. We've all been pardoned. We've all been exonerated. No record at all. Years ago, we had a custodian on our staff. He had been in prison. A pastor friend of mine called me one day. I said, listen, I know you're looking for a custodian. I know a guy that just got out of prison. He's a good guy. Just see what you think. We interviewed him. We hired him. And he actually ended up being with us probably 20 years or more. But anyway, he served 5 years in the toughest prison in our state. It is horrible situations. I never, ever, ever asked him what he did. But he got paroled after 5 years. And he was a faithful steward here. He worked hard here. You could trust him with things. We gave him keys to the building. We trusted him. But something really always felt like it was on his back. And it was his record. Well, he got the opportunity to be pardoned. They called me as a witness, and I was able to say all about his work history and all about the stuff. And he was pardoned. He was a new man after that. Nothing really changed, except nothing was being held over him anymore. It's the ultimate of redemption. And listen, just because you haven't served any prison time doesn't mean you don't need to be redeemed. So on side B of this confession coin, we see is loved, we're loved, we're chosen, we're forgiven, we're redeemed, but also we are adopted into the family. Ephesians 1:5, He predestined and lovingly planned for us to be adopted to Himself as His own children through Christ Jesus in accordance with the kind of intention and good pleasure of His will. The Message Version said, long before He laid down the earth's foundations, He had us in mind and He settled on us as the focus of His love to be made whole and holy by His love. Think about that. We're not adopted by happenstance. It was a plan. It was God's plan to adopt us. A pastor friend of mine had several children. He lived in the upstate, several children, and he really felt the Lord prompt them to adopt one. So they went through an adoption agency, and they went through all the checks and all that stuff, and there was a group of children that seemed to be the ones that would be best suited for their household. Well, they chose one. Well, they finalized everything, and then the adoption lady was going to bring the young boy to their house. So pulled up, and this guy had done pretty well in life, and huge house, mansion kind of house. And his wife and he answered the doorbell, opened the door, and there stood the little boy that they'd picked, and he was standing there with the adoption agent director. And they just started their pleasantries, and they invited him in, and they just started talking. Now, keep in mind, the little boy was still holding on to the security of the adoption director. That's where his security was in. And the more the little boy heard his new parents talking, he looked up and he let go of the adoption director's hand. And he walked around and he grabbed the hand of my friend and he looked up and says, Daddy, we're rich. That really happened. He was one that it was planned. They picked him out. And he didn't have any problem becoming a son in that household. All of a sudden, His standard of living went up. That's what I tell Susan all the time. My standard of living went up when I married her. She was a wealthy school teacher. That just says where I was. But my standard of living went up. But this young boy's standard of living went up. And he had no problem finding his place in that family. There's a song that we sing that sums up our identity in God. I am who you say I am. Some of the lyrics are, I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. Daddy, we're rich. I'm chosen, not forsaken. You are for me, not against me. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. I am who you say I am. So who are we? We're loved. We're chosen. We're forgiven. We're redeemed. We're adopted. We are in God's family. You can clap for that. That's awesome. See, the fact is, Jesus paid too high of a price for us not to confess who he says we are. And listen, it's never from a position of pride in that we lord it over others. But it comes from a place of deep gratitude that we long for others to grasp for themselves. Our God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for the other. And he wants his people to live boldly in this life. Yes, he wants us to repent and confess our sins and keep confessing because, listen, we blow it. But he wants you to begin to confess on the offensive, that you grab hold of the power of confession. Yes, initially it frees you. But as you confess who you are in Jesus, it builds you. See, making confession, side A, is the admission of our sins as we seek God's forgiveness. But side B, equally important, is making the confessions the acknowledgement of who we are in Christ as we walk through life. That's the A and B side of the coin of confession. See, we are loved. We are chosen. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are adopted. That's what God says about us. And when we have a bad day and we beat ourselves up, we're forgetting who we are. We're forgetting what God says about us. We're forgetting all about this that we talked about today. That you're chosen. He picked you out. He went through Craigslist and he picked you out. He got you from the adoption agency. And he restored your life. And you may be a crazy shape, but when you're loved by him, everything changes. It takes fear out. It calms the sea. It can cause you not to even be burnt if you're in a fire. Not to be eaten if you're in the lion's den. See, that's who God created us to be, is those overcomers, those more than conquerors. So I hope you'll spend time this week reminding yourself who God says you are. We're fast to tear ourselves down. We're fast to only see our faults. We are fast to hold on to the arrest warrant, forgetting that you've been pardoned, that you've been forgiven. And it's not just a little wipe of an eraser on a whiteboard. No, it is the spraying of the anointing of God that comes in and reduces the stain. I'm famous for wearing a brand new shirt and dropping something on it. But Susan now has me trained that the moment it happens, I go to the kitchen sink, I grab Dawn, because Dawn works on ducks, it ought to work on this thing on my shirt, and I put it on it, and I rub it. And I might, if you see a little bigger stain, it'll start to vanish. But until you know where to go, you keep the stain. But Jesus had, think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They didn't even smell like smoke. You can't get near a fire without smelling like smoke. I say all the time, I like to smoke cigarettes when I was young, and I'd go out and have a cigarette and come in and think my mom wouldn't smell it. You can smell that stuff a mile away. But here Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are in the fire, not alone, and they don't even smell like it. You say, well, that's them. Well, listen, Jesus has promised never to leave you, never forsake you, to be with you, to walk with you in the fire, in the floods, in the awful parts of life. But you don't have to take on the awful parts of life. You can be Teflon. I think that's old. That tells my age too. I don't think Teflon's in anymore. I can't keep up, folks, on what's in or not. But Teflon, you could cook and not even, you just wipe the pan clean. I think about that when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins. The Bible says He remembers them no more. He removes them from you as far as the east is from the west. That's the kind of God we serve. And the moment we quit asking Him to forgive us, we'll find that we're not experiencing that abundant life. But the moment you don't think you are who He says you are, you're going to find a roadblock too. God wants a confident people. He wants you to walk in the fullness of the things of God. He wants you to walk in the confidence of the identity that He's given you, because He specially picked you out and it's been His plan the whole time. It wasn't, oh gosh, there's one left, I have to take him. You know how it is when we used to side up, choose up teams. The runt got picked last. Listen here, there is no runts in Jesus. And because He's picking you doesn't mean anything except He's got a future for you. And He wants to use you. So why don't we say this together after me? We are loved. We are chosen. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. And we are adopted. Hallelujah. That's good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.